Living 1951. Again, we turn to the files of Radio Free Europe. Listen.
Here is Mr. Ilya Krusin. Today, I must relate a strange phenomenon. Most of the leaders of the communist parties of Europe have fallen sick one after another and had to be brought to Moscow. Comrades Torres of France and Togliatti of Italy had been in poor health for a long time. But the illness of the communist leaders of Germany, Austria, Bulgaria, Greece, and Albania came very suddenly, and they all had to go to Moscow for their health. I wonder why it is that this strange illness affected them all at the same time, and if Moscow will either cure them or...
Living 1951. This is another in the new series, What Do They Think of Us? Exploring the opinions of the peoples in the countries behind the Iron Curtain. Are they our friends or our enemies? What do they really think of America? And what are we doing about what they think? Here is your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, America. Behind the Iron Curtain that encloses the six European nations we know as the satellite countries lives some 71 million men, women, and children. Czechoslovaks, Hungarians, Romanians, Bulgarians, Poles, and Albanians. They are afraid. They are miserable. They are little more than slaves. There are others of their countrymen who live well. These few are the trustees of the communist jailers, fellow countrymen of the oppressed ones, hated and despised, traitors. In the old days, we used to lump all these countries together as Mitteleuropa. But among them, there is no regional unity such as we know in the United States. They are Croats, Ruthenians, Romanians, Magyars, Slovenes, Czechs, Serbs, Poles, Slovaks, and they're all fiercely proud of their own origins. Today, they have one thing in common. They are all the slaves of the communist Soviet Union. Now, before we talk about what they think of us, what they think of America, it perhaps would be better to have a closer look at them. An excellent place for our observation post is at one of the great camps for displaced persons maintained by the United Nations in Europe. Pretend for a moment that you can understand all their languages and listen. Remember, they speak of America.
I don't know what you mean. Freedom, you're always saying. Personally, I ran away from home to escape the regime, the commies. What do you mean, freedom? You don't have to pay for anything, is that it?
Don't be an idiot.
Well, what do you mean? Well, freedom to do as you please. You mean in America, if I want to take a railway trip from my hometown to his hometown, I just get on a train and go without checking in with the cops and having my papers stamped?
That's what I mean. If you've got the money to buy your ticket.
You mean you don't tell anybody?
Why should you?
It won't work.
Well, it does.
You mean a fellow can spit in a cop's eye if he feels like it?
No. Any cop will pinch you for spitting in his eye. Yeah. But in a free country, a cop cannot come into your house without a warrant.
I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Well, that's freedom.
Well, what happens if you get caught saying your president is stupid?
You get shoved in jail for about 40 years.
Not in a free country.
Huh? What do they do, slap you on the wrist?
No. They don't do anything.
Huh? Why don't they do anything?
Well, you elected the guy. He's your employee. You can say anything you want to about him in a free country.
No, wait. I'm a carpenter. I have something to say about who's going to be the boss of my country?
Sure.
He works for me?
Sure.
Where I come from, we didn't do it that way. When I was a kid, there was old Franz Josef. And then there was Zita, and then there was Horthy, and all the others. And now the ones the commies put in to run the place.
I didn't have anything to do with giving any of them jobs.
Maybe that's why you're here now.
I'd have an awful tough time getting used to any other way.
You fought against them all.
That's why I'm here.
Well, I wonder if too much of your freedom is good for people.
Why?
Well, where I come from, we figure we're free enough.
Now?
No, not now. But if we could do as we please, like Alex says, well, we'd have just one riot after another. You don't know my people, Alex.
No, Alex, nor mine.
Well, it works with us, with my people. Or it did before the commies came.
Oh, they're worse than any of them.
That's the thing. We want to have our own people run our country. No matter how bad they are, that's okay. They're our people. But these commies, not for me.
Nor me.
I guess that's the thing after all. As long as we can do what we want to do, it's all right. We can have freedom, or we can have whatever our own people want. But these...
Slave drivers.
Right. What we want to do, all of us, is kick the communists, the foreign communists, out and get our own countries back in the hands of our own people.
That's exactly right.
That's the most important thing. Run the commies out and be ourselves in our own way.
Well, that's a mighty hard thing to do. Anyway, who cares about what happens to our countries except us?
Yeah. You're forgetting the communists, friend. They care.
That's mostly what they think of. I guess if we were in their spot, that's what we'd be thinking of. Freedom. Our own brand of freedom. The freedom to do what we want to do. That's what they're thinking of, and what they think of us comes out of that. Can we help them? Will we help them? How will we help them? But we Americans are not in their spot. God willing, we shall never be. So let's explore what they're thinking a little more. Just the other day, at its soon-to-be-open station in Munich, Radio Free Europe recorded the plain talk of a man who'd just escaped from one of the Iron Curtain countries. His thoughts are quite illuminating.
I think that what I have to say reflects the opinion of a great many of my people, the intellectuals as well as the workers, the ones who have given deep thought to this matter. Now, we hate communism, those of us who have not been deceived, those who have not agreed with the communist idea. But unless America, the United States, helps us now, the time will come when our relative positions will be vastly changed. One day, we who are opposed to the communist regime will be dead or powerless. The communist regime is re-educating the youth of our countries. And when there are none of us left, our countries will be all communists by a simple process of continual indoctrination and a lack of opposition. And that will be a very bad time for the United States. Time is on the communist side. They can afford to wait until all of us who oppose them are gone. When all of our countries are communist and loyal to the Kremlin, then America will have an enemy indeed. And who can say what will happen then?
Here is an excerpt from a letter smuggled out of Hungary, which was received at the famous Box 6220 in Munich, maintained by Radio Free Europe. The writer is a 33-year-old teacher. A letter is an almost perfect answer to that question, can we help them?
America can help us immeasurably. Tell our people more of the truth. Let our own Hungarian people who have found refuge in America speak to us. From them we will take courage, even though we must listen to them in secret.
They too wonder, will we help them? Listen to this recording of a young refugee made by Radio Free Europe in Munich 2 weeks ago.
We know America will help us. We know America is helping us. We do not expect you to free us, because that is too much to ask, even of America. But we have faith in you.
Again, that is part of what they're thinking of us behind the Iron Curtain. They believe we will help them.
But how will we help them?
He said we are helping them. How are we helping them?
Yes, what are we doing?
Before we answer those questions, let's ask another. How can we help them best? Let's consult a representative from each of the six Iron Curtain countries.
Let us hear the voices of our own people from America telling us the truth. In our own hearts, we know that we are being fed lies. Help us to fight this lie. Let Poles in exile tell us, who are in slavery, the truth.
We want to hear the voices of our Romanian people. They know how we are suffering. They know what to tell us to do.
Let us hear good Hungarian voices that we know, bringing us reassurance that Hungary will rise again.
Tell us, Czechs, who have escaped, how to fight them, and we will win.
Communists are very clever liars, and many of us Bulgarians have nothing else to believe. Point these lies out to us.
Let Albanians speak to Albanians at home. Tell us how to resist.
Here is Mr. C.D. Jackson, former publisher of Fortune magazine and at present head of Radio Free Europe. Let us ask Mr. Jackson how this challenge to America, this battle for the good opinions of the people behind the Iron Curtain, is being implemented. Here's Mr. Jackson now.
I would like to tell you at once that Radio Free Europe and the Crusade for Freedom are the expression in tangible terms of private American citizens who believe that the goodwill and ultimate liberation of these enslaved peoples is of primary importance to each of us. They don't want us to tell them how much better off things are here in America. This they know. Nor do they want to hear empty denunciations of communism. Many of them know that the United States is sympathetic to their desire to return to their own kind of national freedom. But many others are suspicious. They've been taught those suspicions by the only means of information available to them: Radio Moscow and the controlled radio stations in their communist-dominated countries. Some listeners doubt the truth of these communist accusations against America, but they have no effective means of proving them to be lies. Government-sponsored American broadcasts are naturally suspect as propaganda, and as such are refuted by the communists. In Berlin, during the famous airlift, General Lucius Clay, then military governor of Germany, established a radio station called RIAS, standing for Radio in the American Sector. Germans spoke to their fellow Germans and nailed down the communist falsehoods for what they were. Last year, Radio Free Europe was established to do much the same job, but over a broader area, with programs in each language of the enslaved peoples, using the voices of their own exiled leaders. It's the informed free press of six Iron Curtain countries where freedom of thought has been unknown since the Russians moved in. Its programs expose propaganda lies. They offer facts the Soviets would rather not have known. They reveal the deceit of the Russian overlords. They give homely advice and encouragement to those who despair. Every day, Radio Free Europe tells its listeners on the other side of the curtain that these broadcasts are made possible by millions of United States citizens who are anxious for them to hear the truth. I'm happy to announce that Radio Free Europe will soon be expanded. A powerful new station in Munich will more than double its present effectiveness. Every American who took part in the crusade can be proud of his contribution in strengthening this voice of freedom. The smuggled letters that we are receiving from listeners give ample proof that Radio Free Europe is getting through.
What is Radio Free Europe saying to these people? A listen for a moment to a program conference, an actual recording of one of the frequent meetings of the program staff as they prepare to open Radio Free Europe's new transmitter in Munich.
Yes, it's a good idea. You know, Herman suggests that the so-called show has what is it?
How yeah, a tune.
A tune at the beginning. Yeah.
The
well, I think that can be arranged. Well, but that's a technical detail that I think we can put it together. No, gentlemen, I think I have certain difficulties with the Inside USA program. I wasn't much pleased with the script as it was written. I think there was too much general politics, and that will be handled in the international commentary. I think we should better take care for more for things that won't be in the international commentary. Mister, don't you know how is it? How is that?
I think that the next time must be.
Heard one of those voices at the beginning of this program, an excerpt from the script of As the Tovarish Sees It, one of the most popular programs broadcast in Radio Free Europe, in which the Russian propagandist Ilya Ehrenburg is caricatured, in which a typical literal-minded Russian secret policeman follows the communist line meticulously till he has himself involved in catastrophe. Now pretend for a moment you're a Hungarian listening, perhaps at the risk of your life, to an exiled Hungarian speaking on another Radio Free Europe program, this one which is broadcast from Frankfurt, called From Official Soviet Sources. You'll hear it first in Hungarian, then in translation.
Our first item is the so-called law in defense of peace, passed by the Supreme Soviet. Here is the official text. Quote, the Supreme Soviet Decree. First, to consider that war propaganda, whatever its form, is a most grave crime against humanity. Second, to prosecute persons guilty of war propaganda and try them as having committed a grave penal offense. Unquote. The penalty for this offense is 25 years imprisonment.
Kedves hallgatóim! Kik hát azok a háborús propagandisták? Azok a
now, háborús listeners to Radio Free Europe, who are the war propagandists or warmongers in the Soviet Union that are to be punished under the new law? The real warmongers are not just ordinary people. In Soviet Russia, they are a certain class, namely the members of the Communist Party and those who derive their authority from the Kremlin itself. May we, then, expect the leaders of the party from Comrade Stalin down to discontinue their propaganda for war. The so-called law in defense of peace, which cannot touch the big Soviet warmongers, but which points the finger at alleged warmongers in other countries, is itself just another monstrous piece of war propaganda, which undermines the cause of peace.
Hungarian speaking to Hungarian. Now you're a Czech listening to another good Czech voice.
Hallo, hallo. Rozhlasová stanice Svobodná Evropa. Volá své pražské...
Hello, hello. Radio Free Europe calls the listeners in Prague, in Karlov, Prague 2. At number 14, Ukarlov Street, next door to the Zahradníček Sanatorium, lives Mrs. Hanna Brachtlová. Remember her name and address.
Táto pani Brachtlová rozosiela do Spojených štátov...
This Mrs. Brachtl sends out mimeographed letters to American citizens of Czechoslovak origin living in the United States, probably for the sake of gaining glory from the regime. These letters start with news about Stalin's celebrations in Czechoslovakia. But then one cannot think of communist letter starting with anything but an unsavory eulogy of the most celebrated man of genius and general who defeated the Nazis. Business at Christmas was excellent, writes Mrs. Brachtlová. Everyone was satisfied, and after a year's work, could buy almost anything his pocketbook could pay for. You remember well what last Christmas was like. What could your pocketbook pay for?
Now you're a Bulgarian, hoping that no one will overhear your radio as you listen surreptitiously to Radio Free Europe. Do not forget that those who have become tools for oppression and act against our people will pay heavily for their crime. For every deed there is a retribution, and this time the judgment will be harsh. Find the means to spread this news to as many as possible, for it is for the good of all to know what tomorrow will bring. You're a Romanian. Radio Free Europe is bringing you that favorite Romanian comedy team of Ionescu and Popescu. Listen to an English translation acted by the authors and originators.
I say, Ionescu, have you heard that the Soviets are organizing the peace pact?
What's that?
They first launched the Stockholm peace appeal. And then, bang, they started the war in Korea. Now, they want to expand their business. So, they're organizing the peace pact.
And who's going to be on this peace pact?
I understand that only liberated countries.
Which countries do you mean, Popescu?
Well, Russia, China, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Poland, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia.
Oh, just wait a moment, Popescu. Do you mean to say that those countries are liberated?
Certainly. I said liberated. Liberated countries, not free countries. Oh. You idiot.
Oh, Popescu, dear. If this liberation business lasts much longer, we are all going to starve.
You're Polish. It's late at night and your radio's turned down low. Listen. Exiles singing the forbidden songs of the Polish underground for you. And what is the net result? What is accomplished by all these radio programs, more than 100 of them a week, beamed to the 71 million who exist behind the Iron Curtain under the brutal hands of the communist jailers? Do they think any better of us? Are we influencing their opinions?
Communications that we receive at the offices of Radio Free Europe indicate that we are influencing their opinions of America. Letters are smuggled out, and almost always they reach us. They are never signed with the sender's real names. If they are caught communicating with the outside, their punishment is quick and terrible. I will read you part of a letter which arrived last February from Hungary. Although you do not say so, we know, we who listen, that the great American people are behind the wonderfully encouraging programs we hear. Can you somehow express to them our deep gratitude for their much-needed help?
If surveillance is so severe and punishment so quick for listening to radio programs other than the official communist stations, how do these Radio Free Europe programs get an audience?
Here is a letter from a man who signs himself a true Bulgarian student. Since so many of your programs are at night, I find it simple to get into bed with my radio set, and I muffle it with the blankets on my bed and with my pillows, so only I can hear it. It is as if you, my true Bulgarian friends, were talking to me alone, and it is so good to hear your voices.
Yes, but is it worthwhile?
Here is Mr. William Raphael, program director of Radio Free Europe, who is now in Munich preparing for the opening of its new station, and who recently interviewed escapees in a Czech refugee camp in Germany. Ask him.
Well, tell us, Mr. Raphael, is the campaign doing any good, any real good?
Yes, the campaign is doing a great deal of good, Mr. Grauer. A large number of the refugees present had listened regularly to Radio Free Europe while still in their own country. The first man we talked to was a young Czech farmer who worked recently in Mariansville, but spent his leave in his home village in northeast Bohemia. He arrived home on August 15th, and that very evening listened to a Czech Radio Free Europe program. He had been invited to the home of a neighbor for that purpose. The neighbor was well known to his friends as an enemy of the communist regime. He knows by experience that a great many of the villagers listen regularly to Radio Free Europe. Another young man, who had been a political prisoner in a camp in Bohemia, informed us that while he was in prison, a rumor swept the camp that the camp commander had been named as a criminal in a Radio Free Europe broadcast. Our informant remembered that the name of the program was All This We Know. That's one of our regular broadcasts, singling out communist officials. He stated that conditions in the camp were markedly improved after this episode.
And throughout the length and breadth of the Iron Curtain countries, the 71 millions of oppressed people are listening to Radio Free Europe.
Vă vorbește Radio Europa Liberă.
Yes, often at the risk of their lives, they're listening to the soul-cheering words and the beloved accents of their exiled fellow countrymen.
Nadejdzie dzień, gdy Polska odzyska
wolność. A day will come when Poland will live again, and we all shall participate in the re-establishment of Polish democracy. Here is what we are accomplishing. In the town of Lwów,
remember
the name of the denouncer of Eliashova Street. His name is Jaroslav Kisela.
Listen, friends. If you are planning to escape, do not put any trust in Karel Novy. He may appear your friend, but he is a communist stooge.
If you are worried about what your opposite number in Czechoslovakia or Bulgaria or Romania, in Albania or Poland or Hungary is thinking of you, let us listen to the words of one of them who set down these words on paper and, risking his life to tell you, sent this message secretly to Box 6220 in Munich, maintained for such secret correspondence by Radio Free Europe.
To you, who over the waves of the radio are trying to keep the dying flame of freedom alive, I am 24 years old, married. So far, the world has offered little pleasantness to me. In 1944, I graduated from an agricultural high school. Then I was dragged off by the Germans. With my 18 years, I suffered through the horrible winter of 1944. I was captured by the Russians on March 27, 1946. The Russian captain sent a bullet through my neck. However, my guardian angel must have held on to my hand very fast. I did not die. I was allowed finally to return to my home. And then the communists struck. Yet, we have not given up. You encourage us to keep watch, and we pray that our hopes will be fulfilled soon. You have done a great deal for your miserable, humiliated brothers here, and we ask God to bless you all, and especially the American people, who we know love us unfortunate.
This was the second program in the new Living 1951 series entitled, What Do They Think of Us? Actual recordings as well as research for this program came from the files of Radio Free Europe and its sponsoring organization, the Crusade for Freedom. The Crusade for Freedom is an independent, non-political organization of private American citizens. It is not connected with the United States government in any way, and it is dedicated to bringing the voices, the advice and encouragement of exiled patriots to their countrymen behind the Iron Curtain. Let us listen again to the Freedom Bell.
Vă vorbește Radio Europa Liberă.
Next week at this time, Living 1951 brings you the third in a series of three programs entitled, What Do They Think of Us? And devoted to a first-hand study of the people imprisoned behind the Iron Curtain. The recorded voices you have heard are those of real persons and were furnished to Living 1951 by Radio Free Europe. Living 1951 was produced by Wade Arnold, directed by Ken McGregor, and written by Willis Cooper. Your narrator was Ben Grauer. Featured in tonight's cast were Bryna Rayburn, Ethel Everett, Ivor Francis, Ross Martin, Jack Lloyd, and Louis Van Ruten. This is Fred Collins speaking. Tonight, hear Herbert Marshall as the man called X on NBC.